Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Expert to Authority Show. This is the coach for the show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in the world. I'm your host, Simone Vincenzi, and I cannot wait to get started with this particular interview, where we are going to talk about enabling genius with our guest, Miles Downey. Now, before we go into it, a couple of things. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any other incredible episode. And also listen attentively. And then if you like it, then consider leaving a review at the end. Also check the link in the show notes, because we will have the resources that Miles will be providing throughout the conversation. So the link is already there. If you are eager, you want to check them out straight away. And as well, there are the resources that we provide, in particular, the webinar conversion kit, where if you want to create a great webinar presentation in less than 3 hours, that's exactly what you're looking for. So click the link and then you can get started straight away with the webinar conversion kit. Now, back to the interview in terms of our guest. Miles is a thought leader and entrepreneur in the world of performance, learning, and coaching. He's the author of Effective Modern Coaching, Effective Coaching, and Enabling Genius, A Mindset for Success in the 21st Century. Miles is one of the leading business performance coaches in Europe with extensive global experience spanning 30 years. He has worked with CEOs and COOs and MDs in the most prestigious organization, from banking and financial service to manufacturing, oil and gas, to professional services, and in the public sector. And today we are going to talk about enabling genius. Miles, welcome to the interview. How are you doing today?
First of all, thank you. It's great to be here, and I'm going well. Thank you.
All right, that's brilliant. So we get started straight away. The question I ask all my guests to share a tool or an app or a book, something that makes your life or business better, that is so good that you want to share it with people. So what's that for you?
Well, it's almost kind of the founding notion that I started kind of professional life as an architect, and as I was completing my studies, I read a book by a guy called Timothy Galway called The Inner Game of Tennis, and it was a turning point. I practiced architecture for a short time, but actually the inner game and what it was proposing became more and more important. And his idea was this very, very simple notion that he wrote it as an equation. Our performance is equal to our potential minus interference. So if you can kind of visualize that and then imagine that in your mind's eye, that word interference got smaller and smaller and smaller, and therefore more of your potential became available. And for me, this is a tool because anytime I'm in doubt, I'll assess the situation and I'll check out, hold on, is this just, you know, kind of Irish Catholic guilt, which is one form of interference? You can substitute any nationality or religion in there, you know, fear, doubt, and learning to remove that interference, that doubt, and learning to step into your own shoes and to put your best game forward. And it's true of public speaking, it's true of coaching, it's true of sport, it's true of leading other, it's just true. And it's just a really good thing to remember. Hold on, you know, am I putting myself down here? What's the interference? Move the interference and allow then your all that potential to splurge out on the world.
It's a great reminder. I remember reading that book about 12 years ago. Because it was recommended when I did my qualification in coaching, and I remember how powerful it was, but I forgot that lesson. Yeah. And in particular, thinking how simpler it can be, sometimes we are so obsessed with, you know, the idea of potential, which is great, but work less on removing interferences. they're both important, equally important in this equation. So
yeah.
Awesome reminder, which now leads me to a question for you. Which one, and you can share from your experience, you can share personally any moment, what was an interference that you had to remove in your life to realize your own potential?
I'll give you the thing that first came to my mind, because I've not actually been asked that question before. Great question. I'm going to locate my answer in the world of sport, but it's true beyond sport as well. The interference was winning, or in my case, not winning, and the kind of beneath that was that I was playing tennis for a whole variety of different reasons. I was playing tennis for the social life. I was playing tennis to make friends and to keep friends, to travel and to, you know, all of these things. And so my intentions were all over the place. I became clear that if I could understand, if I could remove that fear of winning, then different things would happen on the tennis court. And that's been a lifelong journey. I've been good at it at some moments and not so good at it others. But then later on in life, I also realized that the same thing was occurring, that my desire to maintain friendships and whatever else and be seen as a nice person and not to elevate myself above others was actually getting in my way. So it took a lot of initially courage to be able to say, you know, I'm good enough. I can do this thing. I'm not sure it was a moment. I think it's been a series of moments and a constant piece of work.
Do you remember anything that could be like the first step for you to be okay with winning? Because No, there are a lot of people that will be watching or listening that could resonate with this. I can definitely resonate. You know, they have this idea of this desire of stand out and be successful in certain areas, but that comes with sometimes cost or a perceived cost. And that's the social circle and the relationship. What other people are going to say? Am I going to lose the people that I'm with? And so on. So what did you do that helped you out to be okay or be more comfortable in this journey?
It's a great question. Again, I mean, it's a really great question, because what I got to understand that in letting that interference remain, in inhibiting myself, I was not expressing myself in the world. And it was understanding that I wasn't put on this earth. I mean, I don't think anybody puts us on the earth, but I'm not here to not express myself. That's just daft. Mm. So it was understanding that actually I'm here to express myself. And because I'm essentially a coach, I'm here to help other people express myself. So if I'm not doing it to me, then what right do I have to coach others? So that was the opening moment. And the step that follows is to, and we can talk about this maybe under enabling genius, mm-hmm. is to understand who is it that I'm trying to express? You know, not specifically. Because if I stand on a tennis court, and I want to play a competitive match, if my coach appears in that moment, if that's the identity that's being expressed in that moment, I've lost already. So there was a lot of work that's gone into understanding the identity, the person who is Miles Downey, tennis player, winner of matches. Mm-hmm. And that allowed the conversion of, that's about the conversion of potential into genius.
Yeah,
it turns something that's abstract into something that's concrete,
and I think that everyone on this planet is it that wants to have maybe the level of self-expression that they care about, maybe doing more than a lot of other people are doing, or to carve their place in the world. That's what they're looking for, is to turn their potential into genius. Yeah. How do you define genius?
Well, just as we've been talking, I mean, if you start looking at, and I did start looking at how we understand it, particularly in the kind of the Western world, And you kind of, you ask questions about it and whatever else. And what you find out is that there are, in the common mind, you know, the common mind, there are two expressions of genius that ever existed, Einstein's and Mozart. That's what people come down to. And that's got to be Duff, because they're both dead and they're both men, and that just doesn't work, you know? So it's kind of limiting. So I realized that the origin, the root of the word genius is actually genus, to beget, to bring something into the world. I thought, hell, that's interesting. Mm. Because now and of course the meaning has changed. So my meaning is that genius is the embodiment of your potential. Mm. And what I'm saying underneath that is that everybody has a unique individual genius. And if you can understand what that is and develop it, that's when stuff really happens.
Mm-hmm. So it's the development, is the embodiment of your potential. That's what genius is for you, the embodiment of your potential. Yeah. So now, you know, I've already seen it, I'm nosy. What's your genius? What's the embodiment of your potential?
On the tennis court, which is where the experiments really started, and I'm saying this partly because it's so graphic that people will understand it, and I'll answer the question in more about me and kind of in the work. It took me a while to work this out, kind of maybe 4 or 5 months, but on the tennis court, it's not my coach that stands there, it's Big Zen Cat. And Big Zen Cat, big means I hit the ball harder than anybody of my peers. I'm 60 something years old, two or three, can't remember. I'm hitting the ball harder now than I was when I was 24. And when I was 24, I was capable of sparring with people in the top 100 in the world, not competing with, sparring with, mm-hmm. but I'm hitting the ball harder. So I've completely changed all my technique, you know, and I started at 5. So that was hard work. Big, I hit the ball harder than anybody else with a lot of spin. I'm left-handed, you're right-handed. It goes into your backhand, which is more difficult for most people. Mm-hmm. Zen, I manage myself on the court, my concentration, my emotions, my energy. Big discovery relatively recently was in a match, and I noticed that I had this very solemn, unmoving face. And I thought, this is a lie, this face, because actually I'm giggling inside. So a Buddha-like giggle, because the pleasure was so intense of the expression. Mm-hmm. So I've started allowing that to come out, and it's so much more fun. And Cat is, I don't want to hit the ball back and forth until one person makes a mistake. I want to kill it quickly, so I pounce. So it's very aggressive. But once you know what that is, and it's true, you know, I didn't just make that one up, then I know what to practice.
Yeah.
So my tactics come out of my genius. So when I'm in doubt on the court, I've got a place, I've got a touchstone I can go back to. So and beyond that, in life, what's important to me, and I don't have a glamorous title like Big Zen Cat, but what the core of me is about, beyond expressing myself, is the joy and the intention to have other people express themselves. And that's where the fun is. That's what drives me. That's what keeps me excited and depresses me when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, as a fellow sport person, different sport, I can relate. I can relate. I'm a basketball fanatic.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah.
I play basketball. I used to play in the professional league, in the third division international league, until a couple of years ago.
Fantastic.
And I started playing quite late. Actually, I started playing 28. Quite weird. But at the same time, I know what my place is. And I'm a great 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
That's I know what to practice.
Yeah,
I know 8 out of 10 are gonna go in.
Yeah,
like it's automatic now.
Yeah,
and that give me purpose in terms of what to practice.
Yeah,
but now the question becomes: what if you don't know what to practice? Let's move away from sport into business or life, where you knew what to say. Okay, if I want to, this is what I want to become. This is my genius. This is what I gotta practice. But not everyone is in that position. Not everyone has that self-awareness. So how can people find it?
So you know, reflections, soul searching. There are questions you can ask yourself. You know, what do you enjoy doing? That's a big giveaway. what do people come to you for? That's an amazing question. What do people come to you for? Because that's another very revealing question if you get the answer. And if you can't find the answer yourself, then go and ask them. Another question that sometimes gives some insight into that is, what are you becoming? And one of the things that when I'm working with people, because I work on leaders, with leaders to help them understand what their unique genius as a leader is, which is kind of a subset.
Yeah.
When people come to me and say, Miles, I want you to work with me, but I work on my leadership and it must be authentic. When I hear that, I say, my instant response is, you mean you don't want to change? Because by putting that caveat, must be authentic. They're telling me they don't want to change. But what I'm trying to do is help people break through those kinds of barriers. And often it's not a rational process. So I've got some activities that are about helping people's imagination come through. So if you can, you know, if you can get people to picture themselves being at their best in whatever their discipline is, mm-hmm. and what I get them to do is to picture themselves in their mind's eye, probably with their eyes closed, being at their best. And then the question that I give them is, allow that image of you to disappear, to be replaced by a symbol of or image of your genius as a leader, coach, speaker, whatever. Mm-hmm. Take the first image your imagination gives you, and what comes out of that is just pure power. So use your imagination, draw a picture of it, do free writing. You're free writing where you just let your hand say what it wants to say, so potential minus interference, mm-hmm. is equal to performance. Reduce the interference and listen to yourself.
And that's such an important part of the process. We're creating that space of reflection and getting to know yourself. And I think that's for everyone watching or listening. That's definitely for myself as well, a reminder of creating that space to reflect and creating that space to assess, because sometimes we can think, oh, I want this and I want that and I want to achieve this goal and I want to achieve that goal. But then we kind of go and follow whatever is given to us rather than starting from this is the core, this is the center from where I'm going to develop, who am I going to be in the future?
Yes.
Do you have any example maybe of a client that you worked with where this applied and it's like is a beautiful story that needs to be told?
In the last few years, all my clients I work with on there are four pillars of enabling genius, and one of them is the whole thing of identity. And I worked with a guy who's relatively young, early 30s, and buckets of talent, charming, intelligent, real joy to work with. And he was taking up a new role in a business. So he'd been in charge of sales in a small business, and he was headhunted and put into a much bigger business with people with much greater experience, and a diversity of kinds of people in his team, from young to old to experienced to less experienced. And he came to me because that's why people come to me. It's when they're faced with a challenge. And so he came and we had the conversation about his unique individual genius as a leader of that team. And we went through a visualization process, and it took a while, and it was really interesting. And he was, when we did the image piece, he recalled a teacher that he'd had. And it was the kind of tweed jacket that this teacher wore that was the image that gave the whole thing away. So actually, what's core to his leadership is that he's a teacher. So his job is to be alongside these people. And we would, I think you and I would probably use the word coach more than teach, but this is him, his construct, not ours. Sure. And so we spoke about that. We made that image even stronger and consolidated a bit more in terms of understanding what it looked like and how it behaved. and then how it was going to be, you know, against the people in the team, how it was going to show up with the more experienced people. It was kind of every few weeks that he'd have a meaningful conversation with the more junior people. It was much more hands-on, supervisory. It was fascinating. And it was just, it was, you know, he was laughing through the process, because it was, again, back to that strange word, authentic. It was genuine. It was real.
It's like you always have it in you. It's always there.
Yeah.
Now, finally, you're aware of it and you can put a name to it, and yeah, you can focus on it, and you can, yes, use it, and you can build on it.
Yes.
And that's what makes it, I think, what makes this process as well fascinating.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean by the embodiment of your potential. It terms something that's abstract, potential. Everybody has potential, means nothing. But actually then make that into your unique individual genius.
Mm. Yeah.
Now that's something.
In your book, Enabling Genius, so you say that you're working on four pillars. One is identity.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell the other three?
You can, sure.
You can't leave me hanging like this.
No. Sorry. It's a fantastic. No, so, and this was the subject of the intention in the book was not to be kind of research led and therefore get bogged down in evidence and whatever else. The intention was to do the research. We had a team of 20 people at the beginning, but got whittled down to about 12 at the end. And from all this, and the research was about, what do people who deliver excellence, what do they have in common? What's common about how they got there? And that, so that was kind of the focus of our inquiry. And one was genius. I'm a tennis player. You know, if you look at Nadal and Federer, they're both geniuses on the tennis court, at least, and they both understand what their genius is on the tennis court, and those geniuses are completely different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the giveaway. Then the next pillar, if you like, was about motivation, but I use the word will, because it's more active. So it's about the people don't always know that they can strengthen, build, develop their will. So about, you know, by understanding your goals and your direction of travel, by invoking things that are important to you. I spoke with somebody the other day who made a promise to his father as the father was dying, and that was a big part of his will. So you can develop will and make your will stronger. Mm. The next one then is about mindset. And again, there's a kind of thing around mindset that people don't have many distinctions. And they think that if I have a new idea about mindset, or I start talking about that, will change my mindset. No, mindset takes a long time to change, and you can do it consciously. So beyond the simplistic growth mindset to a fixed mindset, you can actually start getting. So I'll talk to people about what are the aspects of your mindset that help you. So and they'll come up with the kind of the laws, the maxims by which they live. We write those down, and then we say, so where are the ones that get in your way? What are the kind of the interferences? And we'll think about them, and we'll think about how we can in turn create something positive to replace that. And then I have them on my desk, the cards that the little cards in which I write what the element of the mindset is. I've just picked up one which says, it's done when it's done. I'm a creator. And I get my rocks off by having a new idea and starting something and planning it. And it's not always easy for me to complete things. So it's done when it's done is a reminder. No, you got to push this one through the finishing tape. So you can create and develop a mindset. So those are the three core, but across them goes learning. And by what I mean by learning is more than just the day you're kind of scratching your head and trying to work something out and trying to learn the lessons. I mean the day-to-day, year-to-year, decade-to-decade development.
Yeah.
And the point about it kind of overlays across all the others. Your identity will change and develop. Your will change and develop. Your mindset will change and develop. So learning development sits across all of those three.
That's a different areas too. enable genius is different components for that to happen. Is there a particular, maybe it can be a misconception or something that you wish people, whether they are in teams, whether they are leaders, whether they are speakers, it doesn't matter, but is there something that you wish people would get, whether it's coming from your research or coming from your book? It's like, I wish really people could get this concept.
Yeah. And it's a tough thing to say, because it's so elusive. Essentially, we don't trust ourselves. Like, we're taught not to trust ourselves. That's what the whole process of socialization, schooling, education is about. It's like, is that the answer is somewhere else. And what the inner game says is that, trust your own capacities, trust your own ability to learn. I've found a new tennis coach, because I moved out of London into rural Norfolk, and I found a wonderful tennis coach nearby. And I was on the other, we were working on my back end the other day, and I noticed at the end of every now and again that I would start leaning awkwardly, just slightly to my right, as I was like, and it just started impinging on my consciousness. So rather than listening to Neil, what he was trying to tell me that I should focus on, I said, whoa, there's this weird thing happening here. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, he's not only intelligent, but a good listener. So we went back and we looked at what was happening more. So I was willing to trust that my intuition, my being in this experience and paying attention. Galway's words were, awareness is curative. Curative. So just by the act of becoming aware, things change. And it's like, we simply don't trust ourselves. We don't trust those instincts. We maybe half notice them, but we don't say, hell, that was important. Pay attention to that. So people get stuck. They don't look inside. They look somewhere else. And
yeah, I got a question here though, because then is a bit of a dilemma here. How do you combine the trusting yourself and listening to yourself to listening to others, people, good advice? Because that's as a place as well.
There are
many times in my life that I can say I should have listened to someone else and not myself in that. More than I can count.
Yeah, and so
how do you combine the two dimensions?
I heard an expression on the radio the other day, somebody talking about a book, and it said, think for yourself, but not alone. Mm. And I thought, oh God, that's good, because I'm very guilty of thinking for myself. So I think also that when one learns to trust oneself, one then has the capacity to start trusting others. Mm-hmm. And that's an essential part of trusting others. So it's not about, it's about retaining the authority, your own authority. Mm-hmm. And bringing, so authority, if you go back to the Latin root of the word authority, it's a word octum, which means, again, it means to create. So it's the same root authority as the word author. So authority, author, same root, means to create. So a writer writes their own book. They write their own book. They're not a dead hand writing somebody else's word. Mm. So the game is to build your own authority. And part of that is having the humility to be able to take in stuff from other people. But I'm pretty certain that I believe that it starts with trusting myself. And that creates a space in which it's possible to take in external information. And
kind of like not giving away the decision-making power and saying, yes, my choice,
yes,
to listen to someone else, because in this moment, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Or less my choice to get this opinion. But ultimately, whatever happens to my life is my decision to make, and I've got full authority on that.
Yeah,
that's very empowering. That's a very empowering place to be.
It's challenging and empowering. I agree. Yes.
At the same time, and I love this conversation. It's almost time to wrap up. So First of all, for people that want to know more about you and your work, where can people find you? Where are you the most active, and what resources do you have for our?
So I'm easily found on LinkedIn because I post regularly. So and that's one place. And then I have a website which has videos, links to the books, and all of those things. So and the name is Miles Downey, Miles with a Y, M-Y-L-E-S, D-O-W-N-E-Y. That's the website address is milesdowney.com. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah, and also there is a link to the resources, milesdowney.com/resources. You can find in the show notes. Yeah. So as just scroll down right now, connect with Miles. Yeah. And also, if you've been listening or watching, then reach out with a message and maybe with a nugget or something that he said that maybe stood out about this this conversation. To wrap up, Miles, is there any final message you want to leave our listeners or viewers with?
I'm going to go back to that: invest in your own authority, trust yourself, but stay humble, stay open to what other people are saying. And again, add back into that Galway's awareness is curative. We've gone deep into some really serious stuff with a lot of fun. So, I would take those things out as the kind of keys.
Yeah, I love the conversation because in quite a short space of time we managed to go quite deep. And yes. It doesn't happen in every show. No, yeah. I've done.
Well, thank you for your questions. Stunning.
Well, thank you for triggering them, because it was really interesting for me. Even going back to what one of the pillars of coaching on the inner game of tennis and that book that I've not heard mentioned for a long time, and is the foundation of the entire coaching industry, basically, the entire coaching process. And I think that. A reminder for me is that sometimes we can get caught up in the new, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. I love technologies, I love the new things, but without forgetting the principles or where things come from, because they have both equal power. So I love that reminder.
Very good.
Well, Miles, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been
a joy.
Pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching, for listening. Again, if you enjoyed the interview, make sure you subscribe and also leave us a review. These are really important for the guest, for the show, for my ego, for everyone. So make sure you give a good review. And until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially. Ciao. Yes. Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business, or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.